bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time, just like Gonzales. We're keeping our guns.
An earful of liberty.
What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of pens and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God!
Listen to Kit Lang on the Patrick Henry Society every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
No. never sounded so good.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Oops, forgot to push my button there. Now we're on 13th of July. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is a rather chilly, wet, and bone-chilling day here right now. It started out pretty nice this morning, but man, it's been chilly. I posted a picture in there a while ago. 54 degrees on the 13th of July in the middle of the day. Now, there's only one time that I recall, other than maybe being on top of a mountain somewhere, there's only one time that I recall and being any colder than that, and that was in Cody, Wyoming, in the 4th of July parade, when Steven Seagal was the, whatever you call him, master of ceremonies or whatever in the hell he was. And that was, that was 1995 or 96, somewhere in there, and it was 45 degrees and snowing, and that was a chilly 4th of July. So let me see, I tried to post some pictures here, and they're working okay for me. I don't know why they don't work for everybody else. I can click on them and they work fine, but let me start all over here. And Pumpkin Cat, if you let me check here. Pumpkin Cat, if you can go in there if you want to, I don't guess it makes any difference. You can delete it. For some reason, I can delete everybody's stuff except mine. And I don't get that. Usually I can, but there's something with this new, since I got rid of Flash Player, then things are a little bit different here at the ranch. So I'm going to post all these in the chat room again. Let's see here. Give me just a second and I'll take the S out. I've done that before, but it's in. I'll do it. May take me a minute. I'm going to have to kind of muddle through this because it's hard to do all that and talk intelligently. It's kind of hard for me to talk intelligently to start with, much less trying to do this all at the same time and maintain some degree of intelligence. But we had the combat medic class here this weekend, and it was a great class, kind of a small class, but Chuck has... Okay, I don't know why, guys. It works for me. Either one of them works for me. I don't know. I'll have to play with it. Maybe at the next break or bottom of the hour, I'll see if I can do something else. But Chuck's made some modifications in the class and made it even better yet. We've taken some stuff that we thought was marginally useful and kind of glanced over it just a little bit, and added a few things that were substantially more useful for the type of care that we're talking about here. This is a poop hit the fan situation where there's just absolutely no help, nobody but you. Worst case scenario, whether it be gunshot wounds, whatever, there's quite a few things that we covered there that we spent. And the one thing that we've added here, and he did this at my request, is how to drain and take care of hematomas. And that is, you know, I've had a couple of those in my life. They are exceedingly, extraordinarily painful. And it starts feeling better immediately after you drain it. But, boy, I'm here to tell you that draining them and getting into it is awful. It's terribly painful. But that's one of the things that we've added here. So, great class, and we've got people already that have seen some of the pictures and stuff on Facebook, and we've got people here locally already wanting to do another one. We've done 5 combat medic class, battlefield medic classes here just in the little community of Vernon. We've had people travel here from quite a ways away. Let's see, we had one from Albuquerque at one point, a couple, I think, at one of the ones that we've done. Quite a few of the local folks here. We've had people come over from Springerville, people from Comodo, New Mexico. We've had people come up from Phoenix. So people are driving, you know, a couple hundred miles or a little more to take this class. And we're already looking at setting up another one now. We keep thinking that every one that we've done for the last couple here, that this is going to be the last one for a while. And then word gets out, and people are ready to jump on it again. So we'll see what happens. I would suspect probably late October, early November, if we get another one going here. We have the big Southwest Shooting Authority and Liberty for All, LFA, are getting together and having another arms expo here on the 16th, 17th, and 18th of October. And that is going to be an extremely fun time. It ought to be a pretty good size showing at this thing. And there is a possibility, and we're still working on that. We've still got a lot of work to do, and not really a long time to do it, but we've got a lot of work to get this done. We may accidentally cruise right from here the very next weekend and head up to the Four Corners area, probably New Mexico, to do another one just like it. So we'll see if we can get some help and some support from up there so that we can get this taken care of. And that would be awesome. It would be absolutely amazing to be able to do 2 of these arms expos right back to back like that. We're trying to get the word out. We're working hard to try to get people to understand why it is that we do this and what's at stake and who are out there trying to do. And it's working. We're getting a lot of people that are finally starting to see what is going on here. Got to see my son today for the first time in a few months. And he was talking about the things that he has seen, the people that he's talked to. And he says, I'm really pleased. I'm really happy with the fact that he went and got this tattoo much against my better judgment. And he knew I would get mad, and he tried to hide it for some time. But anyway, it's kind of a neat, it's the anonymous mask, the Guy Fawkes mask, tattooed on the inside of his right forearm. And but people will see that, and it pleases him that people will see it and say, hey, I know what that is. I know that know something's coming. I know something's up. We're getting prepared for it. And so that's a good thing, I reckon. Okay, But just for some of you local folks, we are having another advanced concealed weapons class coming up here on the 25th of this month. And that will probably be, I've got another private class coming up this coming weekend, but the only people that are invited to do it have already been notified. So there's that'll probably, that one on the 25th will be the last class for this month. And then we'll have August, September, and October up on the website here probably in the next week or so. Okay, let me check here. We got some breaking news coming in here. Let me double check this real quick. Nothing that can't wait. All right. I was going to do this here a while back, and there's so many things. I've got so many stories backed up that I want to do. I've deleted a lot of them because they're irrelevant now. But some of them are still pretty good stories, and there's just so many things come up day after day, brand new stuff constantly. So a lot of this stuff kind of takes a backseat. But at one time, there was a time when some of this stuff would have been really good material for the show, but now nobody cares. It's very mundane now, considering the amount of much more exciting things that we have going on here. But this one was, you know, we talk about people that have been arrested or fired or, you know, put down in some way for feeding the homeless and, you know, taking care of people, doing good things for people, doing good deeds. And here's another one here. This was a guy that this was in Clear Creek, Colorado, Clear Creek Sheriff's Department, Clear Creek County, I guess it was, in Colorado, have arrested a rafting guide for swimming to a stranded young rafter who had tumbled out of his raft out on the Clear Creek. He was a 28-year-old guide for the Arkansas Valley Adventures Rafting Company, was charged with obstructing government operations, if you can believe that. He went to save somebody's life and was charged. What kind of a sheriff is this? Charged with obstructing government operations. Unbelievable. He was told not to go in the water, and he jumped in and swam over to the victim and jeopardized the rescue operations. That's what the sheriff was saying. He said his office was deciding whether to file similar charges against another guide who was at the scene just downstream from where they were at. So the owner said that the guy that jumped in was named Snodgrass, Ryan Snodgrass. I always did wonder if that was even a real name. I would not want to be named Snodgrass, but nevertheless. The owner of the Arkansas Valley Adventure said he did the right thing by contacting the 13-year-old girl immediately and not waiting for the county search and rescue team to get ropes and rafts and You know, the government seems to take so much time to do all this stuff, just like Columbine. You know, they're getting everything together, and they wait 3 hours to go in there, and now everybody that's big enough to die is already dead. And anyway, that's another story for another time. It says, when you have someone in sight who has taken a long swim, you need to make contact immediately. This guy is a 15-year guide and ski patroller for Summit County. He said, this is just silly. Snodgrass acted entirely appropriately. These guys came to the scene late, and there was a rescue in progress. They came in and took over an existing rescue. To leave a patient on the side of a river while you get your gear out of the car and set up a rescue system you read about in a book is just not good policy. Yeah. Go, Bradford. Snodgrass raft flipped on the runoff swelled creek. Around noon on Thursday, the girl swam from the raft. Crew said the girl was missing 30 to 45 minutes. While he searched for her, he said she swam a half mile from the spot where the raft capsized. Well, anyway, that's enough of that. So a few days later, and I know that these sheriff's department must have caught everlasting hell from people across the country, because this made a big splash. And now it says, just a few days later, it said that authorities have dropped charges against two rafting guides after they apologized. I wouldn't have apologized, huh? They apologized for jumping into Clear Creek last month when a flipped raft dumped a 13-year-old girl. Okay, the arrest of the professional guides for interfering with county search and rescue initially turned up controversy. I can imagine that that is the case, yeah. The guide's boss said they swiftly acted to contact the girl, but authorities said the men jeopardized the rescue when the girl was safely out of the water on the far bank. So let me get this right. She is safely out of the water on the far bank. How did they jeopardize the rescue? Apparently, according to the story, she was safely out of the water on the far bank, and these guys got charged with jeopardizing a rescue. I'll have to get back with you on that one. I'm still wondering about that. The sheriff said that the incident has a silver lining. They said, authorities and a dozen rafting outfitters have now established a protocol for quickly identifying professional rafting guides to boost cooperation when people are imperiled in frigid, fast-moving water and every minute counts. Okay. Well, the whole rest of the story is not all that critical. What was important was that he was arrested. Two of them were arrested for jeopardizing government operations. But she was already out and safe on the other side of the bank. And whatever. Hey, Blue Streak made it in here. Good to see you, buddy. See you. Pop in there from time to time, sometimes a little late. I know that happens every once in a while. Let me go down through here and check and see what's going on in my chat room here. All right, let's move on. We got a lot of room to cover tonight. So, you know, I've quit bringing these up to wait for me, because too many of them have videos that start playing at the most inopportune times, and it ticks me off till I can't see straight. So I've taken a little bit more time to bring these up, so hopefully it won't interfere quite so bad. But back again one more time on this rebel flag thing, and now they're we already talked about them digging up Confederate soldiers and all manner of absolutely totally retarded stuff. And April actually is Confederate Memorial Month. I'm waiting to see what happens next April. But you know, there's a statute, or I think it's in United States Code, I wonder if I can find that really quick, that says that Confederate soldiers, Confederate veterans, are in fact treated the same as any other American veteran, and their families have certain benefits coming to them just as our veterans do from World War I or Vietnam or anywhere else. And I don't know where that is. It's a congressional, let's see, it might be the Congressional Appropriations Act of 1901. Let's see. Anyhow, I don't want to waste your time looking that up, but there is in fact a law. It's either statute or United States Code that protects Confederate soldiers. And a bunch of these idiots here are trying to dig them up and move them and all kinds of things that would, desecrate their not just their graves and their, possibly even their bodies. I don't know how, you know, what kind of shape these caskets are in and stuff. But what does this do to the families? And what does it do to American heritage? This irks me till I could puke. It just really ticks me off. Here's the law, U.S. Public Law 810, approved by the 17th Congress, 26 February 1929. This law, passed by the U.S. Congress, authorized the Secretary of War to erect headstones over the graves of soldiers who served in the Confederate Army and to direct him to preserve in the records of the War Department the names and places of burial of all soldiers for whom such headstones have been erected. All right. U.S. Public Law 85-425, Section 410, approved 23 May 1958. The administrator shall pay each person who served in the military or naval forces of the Confederate States of America during the Civil War a monthly pension in the same amounts and subject to the same conditions as would have been applicable to such person under the laws in effect on December 31st, 1957, if his service in such forces had been in service in the military or naval forces of the United States. So they're basically saying if they were Confederate soldiers, they get the same rights, same privileges, same everything as those that served in the United States naval or military forces. Now, I was looking up here the other day, and the last Confederate soldier died 2 years after I was born, 1958, which I thought was, you know, I look back at it and I said, well, that's kind of cool. I didn't know there was still, in my lifetime, there were still veterans of the Civil War still alive. And I thought that was kind of neat. Anyway, the last one died in 1958. All right. Well, I'm going to, if I can keep everything working here, I'm going to try to take a little break. I'm sorry, my computer's having a little problem. That's why I'm kind of stuttering and carrying on here, because I've got this computer is not cooperating the way that it should, and it's kind of ticking me off. So just hang with me just a second. We'll get a break going here. And this is kind of appropriate for what we've been talking about in the last few minutes here. Great song.
I saw her from a distance as she walked up to the wall. In her hand she held some flowers as her tears began to fall. And she took out pen and paper as to trace her memories. She looked up to heaven. The words she said were these. She said, Lord, my boy was special. And he meant so much to me. And though I'd love to see him just one more time, you see, all I have are the memories and the moments to recall. So Lord, could you tell him he's more. So far away, I remember just a little boy playing war since he was three. Lord, this time I know he's not coming home to me. She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And though I'd love to see him, but I know it just can't be. So I thank you for my memories and the moments to recall. But Lord,
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed you had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. There are a few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
I remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia. Cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane ramp on Saturday, right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time, I answered to what I'd done. Hooks today, blood forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. A burning hell before I sell my rights away from me. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be. From whatever country, or whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to, please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
All right, that was kind of a long break. I'm sorry about that, but I wanted to have the time to try to get those pictures in there. Those are some of from my younger fans, my younger listeners, and I like to make sure that they get a little notice here. And I had such a good time up there in Washington with these kids. They're great kids. I had a blast with them. Some time ago, when was it? Probably. What, four and a half years ago, something like that? Jason and I went out to Ohio to teach a class, and as we got ready to leave, as we were pulling out, there was a young lady, if I remember right, she was five or 7 years old. I can't remember. Anyway, I got a little handwritten. It was raining, and I was trying to protect it. I still got it somewhere. I've seen it here not too long ago. But the kid was just, he said, I don't remember what it said. I love you, Cope, and then listen to your show all the time or something like that. And anyway, it was really, really touched me, and I've saved that. And I've still got it. I see it every once in a while. I need to probably take it and put it in a folder or something with some of the rest of these and hold on to them. That means a lot to me. I I like to hear anybody that listens to us, but certainly when kids do that, that's pretty neat. Mountain Shooter, to answer your question, the AR truck gun project, luckily I haven't had to shoot it yet, so I'm just assuming that maybe it'll work. Now, I shot it when I was up in Washington a few times, and I had probably, I think, three malfunctions with it during that period of time, which was no surprise to me. But I did find out just today, as a matter of fact, for those of you that watch the chat room and those that participate, we have a guy called Firewall that drops in here from time to time, and he's quite the AR whiz kid. He's an AR armorer and all that stuff. Of course, the ones that he's got are the piston driven actions, but nevertheless, he told me that there's a fix, especially for the Smith & Wesson M&Ps, that I might try to make it a little more reliable. And he said that there's a heavier buffer that goes in it, and a spring from a company called Springco. I've used Springco springs before on several other guns, and they seem to make a real good product. But I'm going to check into this. I'm going to do a little research on it and see if it's what I'm looking for, see if it'll help that gun. And you know, to tell you the truth, the gun was real dry. You know, got to be fair. The gun was real dry. Obviously, on an AK, it doesn't matter. But ARs do require a little bit more care. So I'm going to have to, or I already did, as a matter of fact. I cleaned it up a little bit and lubed it, and it seems to be doing fine. What I haven't done yet, and what I want to do very soon, is get out, and I may actually be able to do it this weekend. I have some private classes to teach on Friday and Saturday, but I don't think I have anything to do on Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. So what I want to do is I want to take this magical AR that everybody's damn proud of, and I want to put the scope on. When I bought the gun, I got a 3-power 223 scope from, I don't mean it's a scope for 223, I mean it says 223 right on it. It's a Nikon scope, and I want to take it out and put that scope on there and see what kind of accuracy I can get out of it. I got it sighted in pretty well up at up in Washington, certainly well enough to take care of its what I need it to do for what I bought it for, or for part of what I bought it for. It's warmed up a little bit. Amy said it's 58 degrees and they're out there right now. You know, as I've told you before, I bought it as a truck gun primarily because I think that I will need, I'll need it more likely for coyotes and prairie dogs and crows and jackrabbits and stuff like that more than as a fighting gun. However, as all of us know, the fighting may not be that far away. Whether it's with, you know, the powers that be or just gangs or whatever the case may be, there's a great many potential threats coming up here. So I want something. I don't want to have to carry two guns. So I'm doing that risk versus reward type formula here, where I think that it's more likely that I'm going to run into jackrabbits and coyotes for the time being than I am bad guys. However, it's getting farther along in history here where I think that the possibility of running into a multiple bad guys is certainly more likely than it was just a very few years ago, actually even a very few months ago. But enough that, you know, back I didn't mind carrying a bolt action 22 Magnum around in the truck for a long time for that kind of stuff. And now I'm looking back and saying, well, I don't think that that's quite what I want to do right now. There's, you know, the potential risk is going up slightly, and especially out here where we're at. You know, we found out, and I think Amy said this on her show a while back, and I don't know if all of you caught it, but it said that that Sholo, Arizona was the third most likely to encounter a threat in the state of Arizona, below only Tucson and it was another border town down, so I don't remember what it was, but anyway, Sholo, because of the meth problem and stuff. Which still doesn't mean, you know, I have to take into account that none of them are anything like Chicago or, you know, Baltimore, Los Angeles, or anything like that. It says the third most dangerous or most violent city in the state of Arizona. So it's still not saying a whole lot when you look at some of these other states. However, there is a very real possibility of running into, there's quite a few illegals that come through here. We've kind of got a path here that takes them up to I-40 so that they can stay off of I-17, off of that main corridor. This is one of the ways that they'll go to get up to I-40. So this is a kind of a highway that comes through here, and so the threat is real, and it's, you know, higher than it was not too long ago. So if I look at all of those things and figure out which gun that I want to carry, I'd love to carry the AK, but it's not as good for coyotes and prairie dogs and stuff, which is what I'm more likely to run into. The bolt action rifle is out. And the AK, the AR, is back in because of the distance shooting. And I said I hadn't sighted it in yet for distance shooting, but I think I do have it close enough after what I did in Washington to take care of coyotes out to a couple hundred yards anyway. And if things get a little worse, then the AR will be retired to a bedroom gun, and the AK will go back in the truck. I'm not ever going to carry both of them in the truck at the same time, because if anything were to ever happen, because of my political involvement and the things that I do, I don't want to have both of them in the truck if something were to happen and risk losing both of them at the same time. So we'll just leave that there for now. All right, let's go and check here. We've got, here's another, and this goes along with the last story that we did. And I talked to my son today, and I told you that part of it already, but he said, you know, I've never, he said to me exactly what I said to you a week or two ago. I've never been a big fan one way or the other, didn't care, didn't think about it, didn't bother me. I just don't care about the battle flag. It's always kind of a neat flag. I love to see it on the top of the General Lee and all that, but I didn't, so what? It's a flag. I didn't want, whatever. I mean, just like whatever. And then they started all this crap, and I want 20 of them. I want them on my truck. I want them on my house. I want to hang one from the balcony. I want to make a shirt out of one. I don't know what. I just want Confederate battle flags. And only because there are so many absolute 100% total retards in this country that are offended, and if you'll watch your monitor there. I'm using my fingers for the little quote thing. They're offended by this stupid flag. I mean, this thing just kills me. And here's some right here. There's a shopper going through a flea market in Redwood County. Was so outraged this shopper was by the presence of Confederate and Nazi memorabilia. He was so outraged. It was a he. It wasn't even a woman. It was a he. Kyle Olson. So outraged that he called 911. Yes. Emergency. What's your emergency? These people are showing Confederate flags at the flea market. And it's an emergency. Send somebody. Send search and rescue. Send somebody. I don't know what you're going to do. But send somebody. Well, this officers were actually sent out. This was in Wallingford, Connecticut, if you're wondering. Officers were actually sent out to the flea market to investigate this. Did investigate what? Why didn't they just say, look, lady, I mean, look, dude, it's not illegal. We may not agree with it. You may not agree with it, but we don't care. So go find something else to do. Leave the store if it bothers you. But they were sent out to investigate. They said no one was arrested. Imagine my surprise. Because the items were being sold on private property and no laws were broken. Are there laws broken if they were being sold on public property? If they had the flea market at a fairgrounds or something like that? According to the man who called police, one seller offered Confederate items along with Nazi merchandise, including, if you can imagine, German helmets with swastikas on them, images of Hitler and Jewish Stars of David. That just is appalling. I can't even imagine that somebody would actually do that. It's 21st century. We must put that behind us now. Shut up. Said there was a table set up with this material. This guy, this is... he said there was a table set up with this material. It's not criminally illegal, but obviously it offended this person. It causes some people a sense of being uncomfortable. Certainly the owner could preclude this merchandise. You know, certainly the owner and Pound Sand, I hate to use your name in vain here, but I would say certainly the owner can tell them to pound sand. I'm, you know, this is one of those times that it, that I get tongue-tied here just a little bit. And, I'm kind of going down through the chat room. It looks like you guys are about as excited about this as I am. I ordered, Blue Streak, I ordered five of those flags, and believe it or not, I sent the people an email because I haven't received them yet. Tomorrow, I will be calling them and find out why, because it says they're still available on the website, that they're not sold out. So I want to find out why in the hell mine are not here already. So anyway, back to this deal. The this guy, what a sissy. What an absolute boob this guy must be. He said, fearing backlash from the local community, asked to remain anonymous. I was shaking and almost vomiting, he said. I had to run. My grandmother had numbers, he said, referring to the method Nazis used to mark prisoners. What do you say? What do you do? I can't even believe that this is real. I can't believe that this guy's mother raised up such a pansy, such an absolute apron string sissy. I'm stuttering because I want to say other things, but I can't do it on the air. I was shaking and almost vomiting. Do you mean to tell me that you're whatever age you are, it doesn't say. It says he's a man, so I'm assuming he's at least 18. And you've gone through your whole life so far and you've never seen Confederate Nazi memorabilia anywhere, and this makes you almost puke? You make me almost puke, you little freak. Wow. According to the caller, Confederate items were replicas and not authentic. Well, okay, so what's the problem? The seller reportedly said he was selling so much he can't keep it in stock. Good for him. The manager of the flea market, however, disputed the man's recollection of the amount of allegedly offensive gear was being offered for sale. The unidentified caller also contacted the mayor, who promptly called Chief Wright, the police chief. The mayor, according to reports, sought advice on what officials could do. You could tell this idiot to go do something that is anatomically impossible for a man to do. I had to check with the chief over what is actionable and what isn't. Unless something violates state or federal law, there's no jurisdiction for government to do anything. I could have told you that. You could have called and asked me. We had to ask, is it something controlled by law? Call the shooting bench. Ask for Cope. Cope knows these things. WTNH said items like those are being sold are easy to find in Connecticut. According to WTNH, I'm getting pissed. I can't talk. Newington's Military Specialties Incorporated sells a variety of historical military objects, including those produced by the Third Reich and Confederate reproductions. You know what? Even if I were to say that I didn't like all this stuff and it made me run away and puke and whatever, it is still, it's a part of history. Whether we like that part of history or not doesn't matter. It's things that, we look at, okay. I'm getting to a point where I can't even talk now, but okay, let me look at this last little bit of this story here. We're just about out of time anyway. He said, it's here, and you're likely to see it. If you want, we'll talk to you about it and give you the history about it. See, that there's history involved here. The owner could just as easily say, you know, I didn't approve of this. I didn't like it. I didn't like what they did. It's appalling. It's despicable. I hate it. I hate the people that did it. I hate what they did. It's awful. The most ugly thing in the history of the world. But here's what happened. And here's some things about the people that did it. Here's the history behind what we have. And you big sissy, you're going to go off and puke and cry to mama because I'll slap you naked and hide your clothes. Slap you so hard the water on your brain and go to whitecapping. Go home, shut up, crawl under the bed, keep your mouth shut. Good Lord Almighty. The guy said he was sympathetic to the caller, but added, this is America. You can buy and sell whatever you care to. He said, it's considered free speech. How about that? Free speech is pretty much gone here. Anyway, the assistant regional director for the Anti-Defamation League in Connecticut also weighed in and said, it's unfortunate that under the law, people have the right to sell these things, but it doesn't mean they should sell these things. It's not a crime, but I would call it hate. I would call you stupid. People look at the situation in Charleston, say it's down in the South, but this stuff is here in Connecticut. Good grief. All right, well, I saved this to the end of the show because I knew I wouldn't be able to talk for the rest of the show if I did it at the first of it, so... Anyway, there you have. Yeah, Hopper, that's a very special kind of stupid right there. I am appalled. I'm offended that there are people that delicate and that uninformed and that ignorant in this country, in any country, on this planet, in the whole universe. Okay, enough already. Enough, I say. I gotta go. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Thanks for joining me.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.
Well, a train to grind a smooth.